The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Good morning. Everybody hear me? Is it on? Okay. Well, you know, if you'd have taken bets about a year ago, would Andy Bond be standing behind a pulpit delivering the word of Jesus? You wouldn't have got many takers. It's been so amazing, the journey and what I've experienced and what the Lord has done in my life. So as I was preparing this message, which I have such a newfound respect for pastors and people who do it for a living, because there's a lot that goes into it. I must have gone in three or four different directions thinking that that was going to be the message. And I sat here a few weeks ago and I prayed, Lord, just give me the words. What do you want me to talk about for maybe that one person that's in the sanctuary and who it may help? So he told me that day. And then, like I'd done for so many years, I thought I could do it better on my own. And I went a few different ways, and I came full circle to what he led me to that day. And this morning, I want to preach out of the book of Acts, chapter 9. I know it'll be a familiar story for some. It's the conversion of the Apostle Paul. I'll give everybody a minute to turn their Bibles. That's Acts chapter 9. Let's see here. Chapter 9. Let's see here. Right. In the message today, what I want people to hear is a story of tribulation and transformation. And the definition of tribulation is a cause or great trouble or suffering. The definition of transformation is a thorough or dramatic change in form or appearance. Here in Acts chapter 9, I'm going to read on the conversion of Saul, and then we'll kind of go from there. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, and he asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he asked, and he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to you or to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. When you look back at what Paul endured, for those of you who don't know, Paul was anti-Jesus. He was persecuting Christians. Anyone who called on the name of Jesus, he wanted thrown in prison. And he actually had it authority from the priest to do so, which is kind of crazy to think about, that in those days, even the priest hated Jesus. So going over Paul's story, just think about it, because at some point, we've all been a Paul. We were all lost. Some may still be. And I think of him, the anger and the hate in his heart for Christians, people who loved Jesus. He was so angry and hated them so much that he wanted them thrown in prison. So one day he's bebopping along the road and God says, not anymore, buddy. And I just think about how powerful that must have been, and for the people around him to be walking and all of a sudden you're going on a mission with the priest blessing to go persecute Christians. And the next thing you know, you're falling down and you wake up and you can't see anything. So for 3 days, Paul was in the dark. Paul was lost. And when you think about our lives, I can speak from my experience on knowing what that's like to be lost. And I think of, you know, things Paul did after he was converted. Paul wrote over half of the New Testament. So a man, and he actually did that in a 17-year span. So a man that hated Jesus, hated Christians, God spoke to him and used him for his glory. And now, like I said, over half of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. Some of it while he was in prison, being persecuted himself now for loving Jesus. No, I look back and want to go back to verses or Acts 9:13 through 15. And I want to reread it because this really stuck out to me as a new believer and somebody who wants to share the gospel and spread the word. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. One would think in how my interpretation of how Ananias meant that to come across is, Jesus told him, go find Saul. And Ananias wanted to make sure Jesus understood who he was sending him to. You know, you're sending me to go take a guy who hates Christians, who has it on authority from the priest to persecute us? And I think about Jesus having to tell him for a second time, go. He's my instrument. I think that we as believers all feel like Ananias sometimes. We think that there are people, I can't say we, when I speak this word, it's from my own personal experiences and conviction. And it's people that I know I should maybe talk to, but I tell God, man, God, you don't know what that guy's done, man, the way they hurt me, the what they said about me. And, you know, if we lose the main focus of what everyone's job is who is a believer is to bring other people to Jesus. That's it. Everyone has, that is what the Lord wants us to do. Well, there are some people that I can reach. There are certain people that you can reach. But I think of how Ananias was kind, he was taken back. He was like, I can't believe Jesus is sending me to go take care of this guy. So, looking at that, you can also view it from Paul's perspective, is God can use anybody. I am a testament to that because he is the one who saved me. It was not in a way that I expected it. I didn't go blind for 3 days, but honestly, after what I traveled, I may have rather been blind for 3 days because it was a long year. And I had a lot of people in my life that stuck with me. A lot of them are here today. People that I didn't expect. There was people that I expected to be there that weren't. And we all have, we've all been appalled. We've all been lost. And, you know, looking back at the work Paul did after Jesus spoke to him is incredible. And Jesus, he isn't even asking us to do that. He doesn't need us to add any more to the Bible. It's complete. But he wants us to bring people to him. You know, he wants us to lead the lost. You know, if a few, and to give y'all a little background about myself, because I feel, while I'm not comparing myself to the Apostle Paul, I want to be real with everybody. And I want to tell you that, you know, some of the things I used to think and I used to do, I mean, I thought up until probably 6 or 7 months ago that Mary, Jesus' mom, and Mary Magdalene were the same person. Those of you who are laughing know who Mary Magdalene is. If you didn't get that, look it up when you get out of here and you're going to be like, how did that guy end up behind a pulpit? But I have no problem saying that. You know, I look at the desires and of my heart. You know, there's a lot of people in here who know me casually, and there's a lot of people who know me on a more personal level. And while I never did anything I've done for other people to acknowledge it, I know that they have. And I don't get the credit. Jesus gets the credit. There was a time in my life where I could string together some phrases that would make the devil himself blush. And I look back at where I was, and I try and identify with Paul, because Paul spent the rest of his life devoted to Jesus. Once he was converted and accepted Jesus and was baptized, his life's mission was to do the Lord's work. You know, I want something that I've really struggled with is how to approach people, how to get in the situations where, you know, you can bring people to the Lord, because anyone that's ever done it before or hasn't done it can be, to me, it's kind of awkward. I invited some people to church for the first time last week, and I was nervous doing that. And people who know me know I can talk to the wall if I need to. But when it comes to that, it's intimidating because of the stigma on Christianity and religion and so many people that fight against it. And I used to be one of those people. I sat in this church many times waiting for the preacher to get done to make sure we could be to La Herradura on time and beat the Pentecostals. And that's all I cared about. And, you know, but now I realize that this is a house of worship. People walk in here and we come to it like we're coming to a funeral for God. The ability we have in this country to worship how we want and where we want is something that we need to make sure we share that. Looking back, because as I was preparing, I felt God called me to share some of my story and how I ended up here feeling comfortable enough to speak God's word. As Brother Wayne said when he baptized me, from talking about him, I had a head knowledge of Jesus. I didn't have a heart knowledge of Jesus. And there is a difference. There are a lot of people, and I was one of them, that would always say, I'm good with God. I believe Jesus died for my sins. God and I, we got an understanding. Well, I can tell y'all, there's going to be a lot of people who think they had an understanding with God when they get in front of him. And they're going to realize it wasn't an understanding. God is all or nothing. There's no in between. God is full time. He's not part time. And I know that it can be difficult to live that way because everything in our society is pulling us away from it. I still deal with it. I struggle with it every single day. And I just, whatever struggles you're going through, know that on the other side, there's been a plan. It all ties in. And I'm not going to get into too much of it, but I used to be the guy when people would tell their stories about how they saw God or saw God work. I didn't discount it. Even looking back, realizing I only had a head knowledge and not a heart knowledge, I never would have questioned God. You know, I grew up in church. I was baptized at a young age. But nothing about my life said, this guy follows Jesus. It was the complete opposite. I was the one that Christians would probably look at and be like, man, this guy's in church. We ain't going to that church. And that's just, it's the truth. So I at one point was like Paul. And I can't tell y'all how much information I've taken. Like, I can't get enough of it because I feel like I've missed out on so much. But the great news is that's there for everybody. And no, it's not always going to be like Paul going blind for 3 days. You wake up and you're like, okay, Jesus is real. You know, that I'm not saying it can't happen, but a lot of the rest of us, it's a lot slower. It's a progress. It's a process. Let's see. Going back to, illustration I heard about having a head knowledge versus having a heart knowledge. This is something that spoke to me, and I hope it makes sense. Matt Chandler is a pastor at the Village Church in Flower Mound, Texas. And one of the things he was talking about is believing in, he said, all right, everybody who believes that George Washington was the first president of the United States, raise your hand. And of course, everybody raised their hand. That's what we were taught in the history books. And then he said, how many of you met George Washington? Nobody. How many of you saw him? Nobody. So how do we know that George Washington was the president? Because of history books. Because it was passed down. That's all the Bible is the history book. It's the history of salvation. It's the history of Jesus and how everything transpired. And, we have so many books at our disposal that, the people in school, you have books that you can read and prepare for it. And then a lot of us wander aimlessly through life wondering, wow, we don't have a, if there was only a guidebook for life, if there was only a guidebook for parenting, and there is. It's the Holy Bible. And I didn't realize, because truthfully, I didn't know or care how much is in this book. There is nothing that happens today that did not take place in this book. God prepared us for it. He had the apostles. He has the different books, the different accounts of it, and that stuff that That's how the book is so important. So as I look and I think about how to grow our church, one, we have to identify when we're Ananias. And we look up at God and say, not that guy, God. You know what he was doing? And then we have to realize when somebody's a Paul, a pre-conversion, and not judge them, and actually get out and reach them and talk to them. Get out of your comfort zone. Churches are built Monday through Friday. And what we do and how we show how we live our lives. If you wait till Sunday, the churches will start dwindling. And the example you set Monday through Friday in living a Christian life is what grows churches. They may not be people that come to this church, but they may look at somebody and say, man, this guy, okay, I know he's pretty big in his church. Man, there's something different about him. You know, I try, and I'm still trying to find my way. And it's tough some days. I still struggle. I suffer with excruciating anxiety, stuff I never had, which is my equivalent of the 3 days of being blind, except it wasn't 3 days. It's been going on almost a year. But that, to me, it's God's way of, he allows it to happen because it keeps me grounded and to realize that I need him. And we need to disciple people. We need to get out and reach others. Churches aren't social clubs. We're here to grow them. We want more people to be here. And I've kind of getting off track, and I promise I'll have us out of here soon. But it's like, I look and we've segregated ourselves as Christians. We have so many different denominations, not any one better than the other. But at the end of the day, it's all about Jesus. It doesn't matter. And that's what we need to let people know. We hold on to our traditions, which are good. It's good to have those traditions. But it's okay to be untraditional sometimes. We can't go around holding non-Christians to Christian standards. And I had a lot of people in my life that they knew I was lost. And they continued to pray for me. My wife was one of them for 12 years. And other people, my parents, my in-laws. And it's something that it may not happen overnight. You know, not everybody is as fortunate as Paul to be headed to persecute some Christians. And then all of a sudden he gets just 3 days and then he's back at it and his life has changed. It doesn't work that way for everybody. But I want us as a church, and more importantly as a believer, because it doesn't matter where you go to church. If you're preaching the love of Jesus Christ, that's all that matters. And we need to realize where we once were. We once were a Paul. And one of my favorite things that T.D. Jakes said was, Christians get amnesia. Is all of a sudden we're converted. And I believe his example was, you know, Sister Patty May and them show up to a place where they're smoking cigarettes. And she goes, oh, no, sister, we're getting out of here. They're smoking cigarettes. When a year ago, she was smoking a carton a day. Don't forget where you came from. People want somebody that's real with them. And they want to know what people have really struggled with. That's how we reach people. Because none of us are perfect. And that's where, you know, when it comes to reaching people, I'm closing now. But something I heard this week that really stuck out to me, because I have struggled with it, is you can't gossip about them and pray for them. You got to choose. Either you want to pray for them and you have a genuine desire to see them come to know Jesus, but don't get in a group of you, all of you just leave church sitting around lunch and gossip about the people that you're praying for to come find Jesus. You can't have it both ways. Amen. Another thing is, do not let religion keep you from knowing Jesus. The people that hated Jesus the most were religious people. So if you don't let something that happened to you at a church when you were younger or some bad experiences, those people don't speak for God. God speaks for himself. You cannot outsend the blood of Jesus. No matter what you've done, you're covered by the blood of Jesus. And I know one of the questions growing up was, you know, I went to a Christian high school. I grew up in church and, you know, I would always think, oh, there's different degrees of sin. There's, you know, there's no way doing this is worse than that. And I got news for you. It's all the same in the eyes of Jesus. And it's all covered by the blood. So no matter what you've done, no matter what bad things you have done, every person can be used if you allow Jesus to do it. The last thing is Jesus just wants progress. He doesn't want perfection. He knows we can't be perfect. That's why he died for us. He's the only perfect man to ever walk the face of this planet. He just wants progress. The cross covers the mistakes we made. And just repent and do better the next time. Jesus loves us unconditionally. Every one of us. Nobody is more important than one other person in the eyes of Jesus. So identify if you're Ananias. Maybe God's using you to reach somebody. And you kind of question it. But he went ahead after Jesus himself told him a second time. You know, we all sit in here and like to think if Jesus told us we'd do it, we'd question it. We wouldn't know what to do. That's all Jesus wants is us to love each other, not be held together, not be grouped into denominations and cliques in a church. And like we're all here for the same reason. All of us. So I want to pray right now. Father God, we come to you and we want to thank you for your love and your grace and your forgiveness, of which none of us deserve. But you gave your life for us so that we could spend eternity with your Father if we are willing to accept it. Jesus, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, thinks they're not worthy, thinks that you can't use them, please let the story of someone like Paul be a testimony to what you can do. You're not limited by anyone or anything. You created it all. Everything belongs to you. We all belong to you. Please let any heart that doesn't know you come to know you today, Jesus. Thank you for all you do for us. And please, just be with us in this time of invitation. And anyone who was spoken to, please let them feel free and confident to ask you into their heart, Jesus. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ, or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.